Numerous studies have been conducted in recent years specific to sound therapy used for babies. The results show that certain sounds create a calming effect and can help bring balance. Now, while some newborn babies have smooth transitions from the womb to the world, others have a more difficult time, and in this situation, sound therapy would be most beneficial. Today, really exciting about today's show, we're going to go even deeper and show how through sound therapy can and does have a positive effect while the baby is still in the womb. So once again, welcome into Affirmations for Living. I am your host, Reverend Edvige, and it is my deepest and happiest privilege to be here and to share this information with you. And we are going to go over the insights into the development of babies while they're still in the womb. My guests today are Heather Clark. Heather Clark is a midwife for probably 20 years or so. I'm sure when she comes on, she'll let us know exactly how long she's been doing this work, as well as an amazing spiritual teacher. I've known her now for a couple of years, and you will feel the energy of her spirit. And then coming back for the second time is Regina Murphy. Regina Murphy is the founder of Secrets of Sound Therapy. You'll remember them, how you heal through frequencies and sound. She will share her discoveries into the world of the unborn child. This ancient method of healing is becoming more and more popular. The theory behind this type of therapy is that everything within the universe is an ongoing state of vibration, which includes the human body. Therefore, we must give special care and attention to all stages of our development, and that includes being in the womb, of course. So, an interesting fact that as I was doing this research and found is that sound is the first sense to develop fully. So just think about that. So how important it is that we pay attention to what we listen to, right? So the fetus's ear is ready to perceive sound at 4.5 months. And these sounds in the utero are high frequency sounds above 8,000 hertz. So just imagine then that these tones and frequencies can help to calm, to help to soothe. And we're going to go into deeper to exactly what all of this does. But at 4.5 months, this fetus can hear and respond to these particular tones and frequencies. So before we get started, I want to remind you that you can find me on my website at affirmationsforliving.net. You know that I do spiritual life coaching, one-on-one coaching, and we can do that via in person, Skype, over the telephone. It doesn't matter, but all of that information is on my website, as well as I recently launched a guided meditation. So you want to check that out, because embedded within that are 9 ancient solfeggio tones. And speaking of tones and frequencies, those tones are designed to wake you up, to stimulate, to activate, and to get things going. So if you're really wanting to move forward on that spiritual path, I would offer that you go to my website and get that guided meditation. And also, you know that I mentioned before that I just released my phone app called Awakened, and you can find that right now. It's currently available for free and on Android. So with all of that said, I think we'll go ahead and bring our guest in and get this going, because this is going to be a wonderful, wonderful 1 hour. If you have any questions, please call. That number is 323-203-0815. Again, that is 323-203-0815. Hello, everyone, and we are back, and we should be live now with Regina Murphy. Regina, are you there?
I'm here.
And Heather Clark, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Well, hello and welcome, and ladies, this is going to be exciting and fun. And you know, as I was doing the research, I just saw so much information and such potential in this work that I'm really excited. My sister is expecting her first child, so I hope she's listening in today. So with that said, if we first want to introduce, I don't know, does someone have music on in the background?
No? I turned it off.
Okay. So with that said, I want ladies to tell us a little bit about who you are, and then we'll get going. So Regina, Secrets of Sound Therapy, who you are, how you came to create that, and then we'll go to you, Heather.
Well, I was introduced to tuning forks through massage therapy credits. And prior to that, I was working in the field of emotional health with EFT and tapping and energy psychology. And as soon as I saw the tuning forks, I knew that I could integrate the two. So I was very excited to take the class. And prior to that, I was tapping everybody that would sit still. And once I took a class with tuning forks, I was tuning forking anyone that would sit still.
Okay.
And, you know, then felt as far as I could take it, I would not stop making it easier and easier and easier. And so that's, you know, how I managed to develop all these things. And my heart is in the babies, which was my first product that we developed.
Wonderful. And so, Heather, share with us who you are. I know you're a midwife, but share that information.
Yes, I'm a nurse midwife and have been for over 30 years. And I guess for me, I observed over the years some women going into labor and giving birth and having great success with breastfeeding, and then those other women that seem to have problems with miscarriages and labor and attachment issues, and I wanted to understand why.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to understand why this group had so many issues, and my readings and my teachings really didn't always explain that. So that started a lifelong journey looking into alternatives, trying to understand, and then my own personal journey where I eventually became in touch with my own prenatal memories that opened up a whole new world of awareness as I looked at my time in utero and attachment issues, bonding issues that really began to explain to for me some of my challenges throughout my life. And so that got me more excited to look deeper into this area of prenatal and perinatal psychology. And here I am.
Wow, this is fascinating. So, you know, the first question I have is, how do we know that babies are conscious at conception or inside the womb? How do we know that? And then how do these tones, how do they work as far as, you know, affecting the womb? So I don't know if that question is how that makes sense, but.
Well, we know from a number of areas. As far back as 1904, psychologist by the name of Otto Frank began to do research into babies in utero, babies' experience, and many followed him. And we've gained a lot of information through hypnosis or psychologists doing work with LSD and helping people to remember. And then there are those who have spontaneous memories, like myself. Dr. Chamberlain, for example, did some research regressing adults into the prenatal and birth phase, and he correlated their stories with their mothers, and they matched identically. So there are many, many instances of people actually recounting. And then in my own work, I have many, many clients who will tell me how their babies respond to them, whether it's to music, to tap into a typewriter, a computer. Dads often will play games, and the babies always respond the same way to dad. So we have many, many instances that have been recorded and some in studies to show that babies are aware. Regina?
Well, the first time I realized that infants were really aware was my son was having an operation when he was 16. But when he was born, he was in an incubator, tied down and naked under a sun lamp for the first 12 days of his life.
Wow.
And in that NICU, they were in little movable incubators, so they had wheels on them, and they moved them around a lot. It was a very large NIC unit. And my son was getting ready to be moved from the, when he was 16, from pre-op into the operating room, but he already had IVs in him. And as soon as they started to move the bed, he completely lost his mind. He ripped out the IVs. He started pulling his hair out of his head. He started screaming, and he's a big Italian kid. Mom, Mom, I'm losing it. And I went, and I, every nurse, doctor, orderly, whatever, was nurse practitioner was in there, and I snuck under and tapped under his eye real quick. And, of course, he was sweating and screaming and strong, and I'm thinking he's running out of here. As soon as I tapped under his eye, he said, oh, Mom, I'm okay now. I'm okay now. You could take me into the, I can go. Now, I had never told him that when he was a baby that he was tied down, naked in an incubator for the first 12 days of his life. But to me, the moving of the bed triggered that cellular memory of him being immediately placed into that unit and being moved around in it and being tied down. So he completely lost it. To me, that was the first clue that I had to look into what really happened to a child that isn't allowed to see its mother or hear its mother's voice or feel the heartbeat and the oxytocin. And of course, I believe eye-to-eye contact is a very, very important thing at birth. So that's my take on it.
Wow, that's amazing. So now, you do the tones and the frequencies. How early upon, you know, there's conception, how early then would you suggest? Because, and I'm not quite sure, what I found in research, it said that a baby, the hearing is the first thing that's developed, and that starts at 4.5 months, and they have a tendency to hear higher frequency tones. So would you agree with that statement? How soon would you start to have tones, and what would be the benefits of playing these sounds, these tones, during that stage of development?
Well, first of all, I think it needs more than anything the low tones that are coming from the intrauterine fluids and the mother's heartbeat.
Okay.
I think the most important sounds that a baby needs in utero is a loving mother's voice and father talking to the baby more than anything at all. I don't even fully know if we've tested putting the speakers on the belly, which I know that you can buy speakers for the belly. I'm not 100% sure interfering with the natural sounds prior to birth are even appropriate. As a matter of fact, one of the contraindications of vibroacoustic bed would be pregnancy because we simply do not know. Now, I think some of the healing frequencies would be very good, but we don't know. And I also think it's possible the higher frequencies from the ultrasounds could be a possible link to autism. It's never been looked into, but we don't know. Everything is that can help can also harm. So until real research is accumulated, you know, we just can't be 100% sure that in utero we want to infuse a tremendous amount of
So, Heather, being a midwife and you sing.
I think we did we lose
okay.
Edwige?
Which makes sense. Heather, would you add to that? Yes.
I'm sorry. I lost you for a moment.
No, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now. Yes. What was your question?
Okay. The question is, I know you just heard what Regina said, and she said that she doesn't, without doing more research, know if it's a good idea to play tones, frequencies, you know, while the baby's in the womb. You being a midwife, would you agree or disagree, or do you think it can be of benefit? Because the research that I saw, and you know, you never know when you're going out there and looking at things unless you do the research yourself, says that when they have played these tones and frequencies and talked to the babies seem to be more calm and more balanced once, you know, they're born. Would you agree with that? Have you had any of those experiences so far? Heather?
Yes, I have done, I have worked with acupressure and sound on pregnant moms. Mm-hmm. But let me back it up, and I have found that what I found is that moms are more calm and moms are more in tune with the babies. And as Regina said, the most pleasant and important sound for the baby to hear is the sound of particularly the mother, because the mother and the baby are a unit. They're really one and quite inseparable. And then the father's voice. So, you know, my focus is really working with couples before they conceive, working with them to improve their health medically, psychologically, spiritually. Most of us who are born in hospitals have had some kind of wounding, if not during the pregnancy, and I can talk about that later, but definitely at birth. Most American hospitals, there's anywhere from 80 to 90% epidural rate. Cesarean section rates in this country are at least 35% in many institutions and growing. The use of Pitocin, oxytocin, is very commonplace, and when artificial oxytocin is used, it actually decreases the mother's ability to make her own oxytocin, which is essentially the love hormone. It helps her to bond, it helps her to produce the milk, and so my work is primarily with working with couples to help them to enhance their relationship and improve their health individually, so that as a couple, I say that they're actually preparing healthy soil in which to conceive this baby. And that includes using many, many modalities, including sound and light and massage, meditation, anything that will decrease the stress level and enable the woman to get more in touch with her own body and her partner, so that when they conceive, and my focus is to enable couples to conceive consciously, that the baby is conceived already in an energy of love. We know, science knows, that the first trimester of pregnancy is really, really the critical period in terms of the baby's not just physical development, but also emotional development. So if a pregnancy is unplanned, as a good 50% of them are in this country, unfortunately, by the time a woman determines that she's pregnant, she might be 6 or 8 weeks into the pregnancy. That's incredible time loss that could be used into really nurturing her baby and making sure that hormonally and energetically and emotionally, the baby is bathed in this sea of love. And the sound just enhances that, because what it does is it eases the woman's stress and releases tension and enables her to be in a place where she can better communicate or feel the energy of her baby.
So then, just to clarify,
not necessarily do we want to put speakers on your stomach.
Right. That, definitely the music in the vicinity, constant music, in my opinion, is great because it'll keep the mom calm. But we still don't know for sure if putting it on the belly during that time is. And I would always err on the side of caution. And
absolutely.
Hope that. And I honestly would bet that it's good for, I would bet money that it is good for the baby. I just, because I'm in the field, always want to be much more cautious.
So it makes sense, yeah, then, because you have so many tones and frequencies to relax, to ease stress, to ease pain. I mean, Regina, the library that you have is so vast. And so while you're pregnant, if you have issues, to go to these natural modalities, the tones, the frequencies, the meditation that Heather mentioned, doing all these things relieves your stress, your issues as the parent, which in effect will definitely have a greater impact on that baby coming in with peace and calmness and an easier transition from the womb to being born. So that definitely makes sense.
Absolutely. Yes. And there really is no need to put the speakers on the abdomen per se, because as Regina said, just having the sound in the vicinity is helpful to the mother, and the baby will get the benefit. Mm-hmm. The baby will get the benefit from hearing the sound, and also from the release of endorphins that the mother will have. It's really important to decrease stress as much as possible in pregnancy, because maternal cortisol levels affects the blood flow to the uterus and affects growth and development of the particular organ that's developing at that time. So having the sound in the area is really very, very beneficial.
Okay. I have a question. What is the primal period in human development? And first of all, what is the primal period? What does that even mean? And then what is that period?
Yeah, the primal period is a period that is a time that is being looked at more and more by obstetricians like Michelle Odant. It is essentially at least 3 months before conception, and the 9 months of pregnancy and a year after birth. And what we now know is that is a critical developmental phase for the developing human being on an emotional, physical, as well as spiritual level. There is a wonderful book called Spirit Babies. The author is Walter McKeshin, and he recently passed last year, a clairvoyant that worked a lot with couples before they conceived, and he was able to see the spirit of the unborn child hanging around the parent months before conception. There's been other researchers that have documented that fetuses have two states of consciousness. It has a state of consciousness that's tied to the neurological development. So obviously an 8-week-old fetus neurologically is immature, but the fetus is also in between worlds, right? And so mm-hmm. the fetus also has a cosmic consciousness. And it's that cosmic consciousness that allows the fetus to be aware of its prospective parents and to be deeply influenced by what is going on emotionally, physically, between the prospective parents. And, you know, I want to remind, or at least bring to the awareness of the listening audience, that, you know, the egg that makes you is actually developed in your grandmother. And so the fetus that you become actually has, again, when we talk about cosmic consciousness, actually has an awareness of its environment, perhaps as far back as its grandparents. So we're really talking about, when we talk about the preconception period, we're talking about a paradigm shift. And of course, we can't, it's unrealistic to go back 40 years and impact a fetus's environment, but we can at least begin at 3 months prior to conception, at that start of that primal period, so critical again, making sure that the couple are at their optimum health and that they are even doing some very general specific exercises and rituals to make sure that when they conceive, they're conceiving at the optimal level. And continuing that same energy throughout the pregnancy, learning tools that not only can they meditate, but also they communicate with their unborn child, and they carry that into the immediate neonatal period when the baby is born with the attachment. There's a lot out there about attachment and then throughout the first year of life. If there's wounding during the primal period where the child is hurt either physically or emotionally, those wounds are deeper than any other wounds that that child will experience later on in life. So this really, really is a very critical time.
And that leads me to the next question, which is, what is the connection then between the primal period and the rest of a child's life? Well, I think you just said it. So if there's an injury or a wound early on, that will carry with you throughout the lifetime. And then that's where we get to, Regina, where we have to tap and we have to emotionally release these things that bind us. And, I mean, so they were created early on. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, 100%.
So it's really important that we become so much more aware. You know, I'm always using that word every week, aware. Become really aware that if our intentions as we, you know, get married and think about having children, there's then a greater responsibility as we move forward and we become more conscious of what we're doing, that we plan this out and that we truly make sure that we are emotionally prepared and ready, because this energy of this child will be there prior to you even conceiving. I mean, think about the implications of that and your responsibility then, not only to physically to be healthy and, you know, not drink and all this kind of stuff, but to emotionally the two of you to truly connect on a spiritual level so that this platinum baby, that this amazing new life can come in with their gifts and not have to, like we did, have issues that we have to release first. So if we do the preparation work, then we're not going to have all the releasing to do later on down the road. Does that sound right?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, my position is not at all to lay any kind of guilt trip on parents. Goodness knows parents come to pregnancy with a lot of their own wounding that's unresolved. And the thing about the wounding during the primal period is that we often are not in touch with it. Babies will remember their birth experience. They will remember being in utero up until about two and a half years of age. If you ask a verbal toddler, what do they remember about their birth or being inside, you'd be amazed at some of the feedback that you get. But you mentioned a wedding, and I often tell parents, I often remind parents just how much energy they put into planning a wedding, right? You know you're getting married, just like you know you're going to have a baby. So you know you're getting married, and, you know, you plan sometimes for 2-3 years, you know, for that perfect day. And having a baby truly, truly is more monumental in terms of how your life changes. And it's not just your life, right? It's the life of this, you know, innocent being that's coming in. And we don't plan for it. Mm-hmm. We just get pregnant. And then it's like, you know, roulette. We do a crapshoot and hope we get the
hope we have the best results. It's like, okay, what are the odds? Well, yeah, really, they're not even 17-1, okay, and that's roulette.
No, it's not. And during the pregnancy, we may have fusses. We may fuss with people at work. We may fuss with our mate. We fuss with relatives. You know, in this country, many pregnant women feel so alone. unless she has the good fortune to interact with other pregnant women. But many women today are working. They carry so much stress throughout the pregnancy. Whereas in other, I have to say, more indigenous cultures, pregnant women are fussed over. They are, you know, treated like queens. They are never left alone. And in some cultures, the baby is seen as the whole village's baby, and this woman is seen as this beautiful vehicle that's bringing this baby through. So we really need to do a better job.
Yeah, I would say so.
In preparing for pregnancy, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, because we know sound therapy works, certainly as adults, we've used it in the frequencies and the tones. I listen to them all the time, thanks to Regina. I love it, and I know how it's impacting me. And without, per se, having specific tones to listen to while you're pregnant, how can sound, whether it be through, you know, listening to pleasant music or whatever, how can sound help the development and the transition of the baby to the outside world? So is there something that we can do to make that transition less traumatic?
Well, definitely. I mean, this is what I've spent years and years trying to make available to the public. Mm-hmm. And, of course, finding the right vehicle to get the mother's heartbeat and intrauterine sounds recorded and her own beautiful poem, and get it into something gentle, into the incubator, have it all ready in case something should go wrong and they have to take the baby to the NICU. It's amazing. And it isn't just my music. I mean, they have done amazing studies that NICU babies with the gentle sounds of either the classical music or lullabies placed in an incubator, they'll be released at least 3 days sooner at thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars a day if they place music or the mother's voice or heartbeat in with the baby into the incubator. Of course, it's not being done once the study is over. That goes into the textbooks, and it's completely forgotten about. I don't know why, but it is. So this technology has worked in our favor in the last 5 years. So a person could buy a popular SanDisk MP3 player, mm-hmm. and you could record. A mommy could go when she's having her ultrasound, ask the doctor to record her heartbeat, and then, of course, the intrauterine fluid sounds with the baby's heartbeat. So that's already on the MP3 player. Then she could put on her favorite lullaby and read her, a beautiful story to the baby with lots of emotion, and then add that to it, the piece that we put in, which has a heartbeat, beautiful welcome messages, and the frequencies that we know that the babies need. So this is all downloadable from the website, and it doesn't matter whether it's my music or the classical music or lullabies. Of course, I'm biased. I believe my
I like your music, yes. Absolutely, I would agree.
And the frequencies in the music are very specifically guided. It is a Royal Rife cure-all frequency, and it's done very low. The heartbeat is very powerful, and the messages that the babies need to hear are very, very powerful, how much they're loved. And then we also have downloads to prepare single moms and, of course, couples that are conscious. We want them to be self-loving before they get the other messages. We don't want a conflict of messages given to the baby. So, and when it comes to sound, I would still do tuning forks on a mom, mm-hmm. You know, on the meridian points, because it's just the only thing that I would caution is especially early, you know, would be the a loud speaker on the belly until we know for sure that's not going to interrupt the sounds the baby really needs to hear, which develop the brain.
You know what, though? What's coming to me that sounds perfect is once the baby is born, having this your tones, the music, all of that playing like a nursery rhyme in the room would make the baby sleep better. The baby would probably not have colic. Just all sorts of things would occur by having this and now playing this in the baby's nursery room. You know, on a regular basis, it would just help the development move forward with having a healthier baby, a happier baby, a baby that doesn't cry as much because it's always hearing the mother's heartbeat as it's developing, even for the first year. Have this playing in the baby's room sounds like it would really be beneficial, and you would probably have a much healthier, happier household.
Well, one of the baby's moms called the doctor because at 4 days old, the baby slept through the night. She was hysterical. There's something wrong with the baby. So she said, but I had these speakers in the, you know, in the bassinet with the baby. He said, then what are you worried about? That's great. So after only 4 days old, she put the exact same gel pack that you're using, Edwige.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She put the speaker. She did take it out of the gel pack and just left the speakers gently playing. And 4 days old, the baby slept through the night. And these babies are, all of the babies that I personally have used it on are the happiest and the healthiest babies. And then, of course, we are now making them in DVD form. And they haven't been finally approved by Suzanne Jonas. Suzanne is the woman who I've partnered with, who's been doing this since 1986 and has to approve the levels of all the sound. It's very specifically done. Once the DVDs are done, you know, the baby could be hanging out around the house and those DVDs could be on the television. And they're not only getting the beautiful sound, but they're getting the blue light and the information from the ocean, the dolphin and the whale sounds. All these things that we know are wonderful, absolutely wonderful for the baby and
wow.
The mommy.
That's awesome. I mean, that's better than Teletubbies any day. That would have such a beneficial impact on the child. Wow, that's pretty. How soon do you think that's going to be available?
Well, I have one up for natural birth on YouTube at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I have it in English and Chinese. We're now perfecting the addicted baby and the preemie, which I've listened to for the past 48 hours, and then I send them off to Suzanne once I feel everything's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And then Suzanne does her final touches, and Richard fixes it up, whatever that might be.
Mm-hmm.
And so it'll be about 2 weeks before they go into production and are available for sale on the website. But even if you wanted to try it from YouTube, it's, you know, all they have to do is send me an email through my website and I would send them the YouTube. It's probably not that easy to find, but I do think just putting my name into YouTube, Regina Murphy, will probably get you there. So,
and give your website out, by the way. Give your website out while you're...
It is the secretsofsoundtherapy.com. That would be secrets with a plural.
Okay.
And the secretsofsoundtherapy.com, and from there you go into Baby Heart Songs, which is the website where you can download the natural birth, preemie, addiction, and of course the meditations with the immune frequencies for the single mom, and then of course the couples, and they have special frequencies to get the immune system. As Heather was saying, we want healthy parents, but that's more about becoming loving of self. And mm-hmm. we want the parents to love themselves, which will bring in a healthy child able to love itself.
Absolutely. And Heather, do you have any contact information if someone wants to? Because, I mean, you've had this experience as a midwife for, like you said, 30 years, which is tremendous knowledge. So how would we contact you?
Well, my website, Conscious Birth, is under construction. So the best way to contact me would be via email, which is hclark, C-L-A-R-K-E, midwife, @gmail.com. Or you can contact Reverend Dr. Edwige.
Thank you.
through Affirmations for Living, and she will get the information to me. I just want to add that, you know, Regina's work is just amazing. And it makes me real excited to incorporate her work into mine, because definitely the sound is wonderful in terms of helping the mother to work through some of her own wounding before she conceives. But playing those particular frequencies to the baby, as Regina said, sound has been studied with babies for many, many years. But what she's talking about is adding the maternal voice, which really amplifies the benefit. We already know that when particular frequencies are given to a baby in utero, that they will accelerate the connection between the right and the left brain, making the brain function as a more efficient and whole unit, as well as also increase the development within the heart, increasing the feelings of compassion and empathy, which we also see within the cerebral cortex. So we're really setting the baby up to be born at its highest potential. And I will tell you one very quick story of an 8-day-old baby, a baby who I had the pleasure of attending that baby's birth a couple years ago. And this baby was born to a very, very loving couple. It had an 18-month-old sister. The father was a musician. There was always lots of music around the house, no television. And I had to leave. This was in Bermuda. I had to leave when the baby was 8 days old. And his name was David. And so I was sitting on the countertop. I sat him on the countertop. And his sister loved to play in the sandbox in the backyard. And I said to David, you know, David, when I see you again, you're going to be playing in the sandbox with your sister. And I thought I saw the faintest crack on David's face. And so I said it again, just to see. Well, I continued talking, and then I said it again just to see what he would do. I said, you know, David, next time I see you, you're going to be playing in the sandbox with your sister. And the crack that I thought I saw was definitely there. It just blew me away. So I continued talking, and I said it definitely a third time. And when I said those exact same words, this little 8-day-old baby broke out in the biggest smile. Now, you tell me that baby didn't understand. And because of the environment that that baby was grown in a really rich environment full of music and love and hearing not only the joy from his mother and father, but also his little sister, this little guy was well on his way to maximizing his highest potential as a human being. And that's what all babies should have. You know, absolutely. All babies should come into the world with complete love and support and throughout their early years, and be able to grow into the greatest human being that they could be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know what? And I certainly see where using this modality, the sound, the therapy, the frequencies, the baby, the mother's voice, all of this from birth on can have such that impact that would allow that child to have the fullest potential. Really just amazing. And again, you know, anyone who's not experienced listening to tones and frequencies, I even through Regina's Grace, I have a guided meditation, and I can tell you that the people that I've shared this meditation with, the impact that it's had in helping them to just really be able to fully more connect to their higher conscious self. So it really does help to connect you and to really open all the channels, as it were, to your higher self. And so that's what we're talking about. And it's just fascinating that we can see it on every level, the implications of using tones and frequencies and all of those things that they've been doing for so long, but now we're really becoming more mainstream with it. So it's just the coolest thing to see how now we can take it a step further, you know, and helping children to their fullest potential. Even if we didn't have it as children, to move forward, and in every generation we're to improve the past one, right? And so this is where we're moving towards. And so that's very, very cool. You know, we only have a few more minutes. So any closing words, Regina? And then Heather, we'll move to you.
Well, I would suggest if somebody is looking for the perfect shower gift for someone that's pregnant or someone that's thinking about getting pregnant, just like Heather said, you can't possibly prepare too early for bringing a soul into this world. And like she said, what we do to prepare for a wedding, you know, we really do need to start thinking about learning infant massage before we have our babies, and all kinds of more welcoming things than spending our time worrying about having a coach, you know, bassinet or, you know, thing to bring it home in, but the more loving things like massage and preparing our own consciousness. I'm in total agreement. And thank you so much for allowing me this special time with you both.
This has just been joyful. Yeah, and we'll do this again because this is so important. See, it's conversations like this that actually change the world, because so many people don't know that this information is here and would so welcome it. So it's such my honor to be able to bring this type of information to the audience every week. And so, yeah, we will definitely further this conversation when your DVDs are ready, because it's so important to get this information out there. Heather, your closing thoughts?
Well, it is so important. And the work that Regina's doing once again, and working and developing music for special conditions, babies that are addicted, that may have ADHD or other developmental issues, it's real important because, unfortunately, we're not yet at the place where all babies are going to be conceived and grow in the healthy soil of love. But what we're also talking about is not just the individual baby. We're talking about creating a world of peaceful, loving beings, because when you're conceived this way and when you are nurtured this way in pregnancy and, again, during that primal period, you're not going to grow up to be somebody who's going to rob and steal and mug somebody on the street. You're going to grow up to embrace peace and really to, as I said, maximize your fullest potential as a human being and be creative with that. And that's what we're moving towards, right? That's what we really want to create, is shift the paradigm so that we are embracing these wonderful, intelligent beings, souls that are waiting to come in and waiting to create a world that is peaceful.
Absolutely.
And, so
and that is our
work. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I totally agree. We, you know, are creating that Garden of Eden, and we are now having the tools and the gifts that we can do that consciously, because everything now is about conscious choice, and this is allowing us to do that. So to the two of you, I'm just so thankful that you took the time out to speak with me today, because this really is just so powerful. So with that, it is time. I want to thank you. We will continue this conversation at a later date, because it's just so impactful and it can make such a big difference globally as more people become aware of this. So, Regina, thank you. And Heather, thank you. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. So there you have it. Once again, another amazing episode of Affirmations for Living. This has been my pleasure to bring this information to you. Again, you can find Regina at the Secrets of Sound Therapy, and you can always check in on my website to get any further information. Be blessed. Till next time, take care. Bye-bye.